Our first Bible reading, which comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
The next reading will be from 19 to the end of that chapter.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word, we pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray that your spirit would guide us as we reflect on the meaning of what we've just heard and the wonderful news that Jesus is risen. We pray this in his name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 says, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful hope of those who trust in Jesus, the wonderful hope of Easter, the hope of the resurrection of the dead, a hope that's made possible through Jesus' death on the cross and set in motion when Jesus became the first to rise from the grave. And this hope enables those who trust in Jesus to have confidence in the face of death. There are a few things more sobering than experiencing a death in the family, a death of a close friend, or even maybe having a near-death experience ourselves. Death is a reality that, when experienced close up, can make all of the frivolous things that we spend our lives chasing after seem utterly worthless. A near-death encounter can give us a clarity that the busyness of our lives often takes away. And it can cause us to reflect on what we really believe and who we are really trusting in. C.S. Lewis, the well-known Christian author, he once wrote these words: "You will never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death." You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. Now, to explain this, Lewis used the analogy of a rope. He wrote, "It's easy to say that you believe a rope is strong, as long as you're only merely using it to tie up a box. But what if you had to hang by that rope over a cliff? We all know it wouldn't take long to decide whether we trusted that rope under those circumstances. Sooner or later, we will all have to face death, whether it's the death of a loved one, a friend, or maybe even our own. The wonderful news of Easter is that we no longer need to fear death if our faith is in Jesus, because death is not the end for those who trust in him. As Mary and the disciples grieved the death of Jesus and anguished over how they had gone from entering Jerusalem in triumph, as people were singing praises to him, to then looking on from a distance as Jesus was crucified outside of the city on a Roman cross only 1 week later. They were still trying to make sense of how the one they thought was the Messiah, the promised descendant of David, could possibly have died. And in her grief, Mary Magdalene went to Jesus' tomb. She went there early in the morning, basically right from the point when Sabbath was officially over. And she went there more than likely with the intention of putting perfumes, pouring spices on Jesus' body, as a mark of respect and as a way of saying goodbye. But when Mary arrived at the tomb, she saw that the huge stone that was enclosing the tomb had been rolled away. And not knowing what to do in that moment, she did the only thing she could do, and she ran to Peter and to John, who describes himself as the disciple Jesus loved, and she told them about the empty tomb. As soon as Peter and John heard for themselves, they wanted to go and have a look and see what had happened. John, in his eagerness, well, he ran to the tomb and outran Peter. And having gotten to the tomb first, he looked in but dare not enter. And as he looked in, he could see the linen strips lying there just as they were. But he continued not to go in. When Peter arrived, he just went straight in, typical Peter style. And he looked around, and what he saw was Jesus' body was gone, but the grave clothes were still there. In those days, grave robbings were quite a common occurrence. And so as Peter entered that tomb and saw that all of the things that were actually worth any money were still lying there, he must have wondered why that was. But as John followed Peter into the tomb and saw that Jesus' body was no longer there, even though he didn't yet understand how or why, as he looked around that tomb, that empty tomb, he believed that Jesus had risen from the grave. After Peter and John had gone home, Mary stayed at the tomb, still trying to understand what was going on. She was standing outside, she was weeping and mourning, trying to make sense of all of this. When all of a sudden, two angels appeared right in the spot where Jesus' body had been laid. We're told they were dressed in white. You could imagine it being bright and perfect white. When she saw them, she doesn't seem startled or surprised. She was so concerned about where Jesus' body was that their presence wasn't even that shocking to her. When she turned around and saw a man standing there, there was Jesus, alive, right in front of her. In that moment, she still had no idea who she was speaking to. She was so concerned about where Jesus' body was that she didn't even recognize him until he spoke to her and said those words, said her name, Mary. As soon as she heard her name being spoken, she realized that it was Jesus, alive and standing there right in front of her. And as Mary saw the risen Lord Jesus, she believed that he had risen from the grave. That evening, while all the disciples, except for Thomas, were together in a house and they'd locked the doors because they were afraid of what the Jews might do to them. After all, they'd only recently crucified their Lord. Jesus came, despite the locked doors, and stood right in the middle of them and said, "Peace be with you." We aren't told what their reaction was, but I reckon it would have been a fright. But after Jesus had showed them his hands and his side, they were overjoyed because they finally believed that Jesus had risen from the grave. Later that evening, when the disciples saw Thomas, they told him what they'd seen. They told him that they'd seen the risen Lord Jesus. But Thomas, well, he refused to take their word for it. He wanted to see Jesus for himself. And so he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And just 1 week later, Jesus gave Thomas the proof that he was seeking. for a second time while the disciples were locked in that house, still for fear of the Jews, Jesus appeared to them. Only this time Thomas was with them. Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And when Thomas saw the risen Lord Jesus for himself in the flesh, he was filled with joy because he now believed that Jesus had risen from the grave. Then Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed." John goes on to tell us at the end of that chapter that Jesus did many other miraculous signs and wonders in the presence of the disciples, many that aren't recorded in this gospel. But what has been written down, John says, is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you might have life in his name. The good news of Easter is that Jesus has defeated the power of sin and death for those who trust in him. Today's passage has shared eyewitness testimonies of Mary Magdalene and the disciples. They were looking on as Jesus was crucified. There would have been no doubt in their minds that Jesus was dead. But as they saw that the stone had been rolled away and they saw the risen Lord Jesus for themselves, they saw and believed that he is alive. No one here today, no one alive today, has seen the risen Lord Jesus in the same way that Mary Magdalene or the disciples were privileged to see him. And yet Jesus says, for our benefit, even though we couldn't be there to see him in the flesh, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. John isn't more saved than Thomas because he believed as soon as he saw the empty tomb. And we aren't saved any less than the disciples because we believed many generations later. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead can only be believed by faith. It isn't something we can prove in a lab. We can't go and look at the video footage and check the evidence in that way. The good news of Easter is, as Romans 10 verses 9 to 11 says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scriptures say, anyone who puts their trust in him will never be put to shame. Mankind has made an incredible number of medical advancements in our generation. People are living much longer than they ever have before. However, no matter how clever we are, no matter how much money we spend trying to escape, we may be able to extend our lives, but mankind will never be able to avoid it. The good news of Easter is that death is not the end for those who trust in Jesus. Because Jesus is the first to eternally rise from the grave. The first of many, many, many of his followers who will follow him into eternity. Death is a harsh reality. And many of us have already had to face it in different ways. One day we'll have to face our own. We don't need to fear what comes after it. Because Jesus tells us in John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." That's the wonderful news that we are celebrating today. The good news that death is not the end for those who trust in Jesus, because he is risen from the grave. Let's pray. Father God, as we go about our celebrations today, spending time with family and doing whatever we're doing, we pray that you would help us not to lose sight of the wonderful news of Easter, the news that death is not the end for those who trust in you, that you have, through Jesus, through his death on the cross and through his resurrection, that you have reconciled those who trust in him to you, that you have made us sons and daughters of the living God, and you have set a place for us, awaiting for us to spend eternity with you. And we thank you for this wonderful hope, this wonderful joy that we have. In Jesus we pray. Amen.